Here in the United States, spending on prescription drugs has doubled over the past 4 years. Americans spent $155 billion at pharmacies last year. Insurers, employers, and state governments are all scrambling to slow the spending. How did our drug bill get so high in the first place? NPR's Snigdha Prakash reports.
Martha DeRose keeps a dog-eared 3x5 index card in her purse. It's covered with her neat script. That's how she keeps track of her pills.
Amaril, Demodex, Plavix, Lotensin.
DeRose has diabetes, high blood pressure, and heart problems.
Prempro,
this is her daily diet.
Cardizem, that just about does it. It's enough, huh?
11 pills in all. She spends $700 a month on them. DeRose is among a growing group of Americans whose prescription drug bills have ballooned beyond their capacity to pay for them. At 71, Martha DeRose is frail, but she's working full-time as a travel agent so she can buy her pills.
It's a tough game. Getting old is not for sissies.
More Americans would have trouble paying for their drugs, but they're shielded from the true cost because their insurance covers prescription drugs. DeRose's Medicare doesn't. In 1990, Americans spent just over 6 cents of every healthcare dollar to buy prescription drugs. By the year 2000, prescription drugs were claiming 9 cents of each healthcare dollar. By 2011, 15 cents of every dollar spent on healthcare will be used to fill prescriptions. There is no single reason why drug spending is escalating right now. There are many. For one, there's a radical change in the way Americans use prescription drugs. Drugs aren't just for acute conditions anymore, such as infections or short-term pain. Increasingly, Americans stay on prescription drugs for weeks, months, even years at a time to manage long-term conditions that were once ignored or not understood. Take depression. Antidepressants are now the largest class of prescription drugs sold in America.
There is a much, much greater awareness among the general public about depression itself, and that it is an illness, and that it's an illness that can be treated.
And the drugs are better, says Dr. Carol Bernstein, who's Associate Professor of Clinical Psychiatry at New York University.
We have had very, very effective medications for the treatment of depression for at least 30 years. The problem was that they had many, many side effects. And what happened in the late 80s with the advent of the now very famous SSRI class, those are the selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, those drugs are just as effective as the earlier drugs, but don't have the same side effect profile. So many, many more people were able to take them and tolerate them and get treated.
Diabetes, high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, allergies, and gastrointestinal problems. These long-term conditions have also become growth markets for the drug industry as the population has aged and pharmaceutical companies have developed groundbreaking medications. It helps that most Americans don't pay for their prescription drugs directly. Since the 1990s, health insurers do.
Americans now think drugs are very cheap. You go to a pharmacy with a prescription and you have either a $10 copay if it's a generic, or 15 if it's a brand name on the formulary, or maybe 25.
Uwe Reinhardt is professor of economics and public affairs at Princeton University.
That drug may cost the insurance company $90, but you think it's 25, so it's cheap. And therefore, of course, drugs are wonderful things when you actually think about what they can do for you. Here's something that's cheap and so wonderful, you want more of it.
The combination of medical advances and the deep pockets of insurers has helped convert prescription drugs into consumer products. For decades, drug makers have marketed their newest drugs to doctors. Since the late 1990s, drug makers have also spent millions to advertise directly to consumers, just like car makers or computer companies. They've stimulated demand, built brand awareness, and grabbed market share from older generic drugs that cost less. About half of the $155 billion that consumers spent at retail pharmacies last year was used to buy just 50 drugs, mostly new, expensive, and heavily advertised. 29 of those drugs had sales over $1 billion. Some of those drugs were Me Too drugs. Those are new drugs rolled out to replace existing ones that are going off patent. But they aren't much better than the ones they're replacing, says Uwe Reinhardt.
The analog would be you have a car with the same chassis, same motor, but you change the fenders and maybe the windshield a little bit, and now you call it a new car and you charge significantly more.
Current examples of that strategy include Schering Plough's new antihistamine Clarinex, which the drug maker hopes will replace its blockbuster drug Claritin, now that Claritin is going generic. Americans don't have to go along, but they usually do. We want the latest in prescription drugs, just as we do in cars, houses, and clothes. Drug marketing certainly fuels the big increases in spending. But so does the fact that there are better drugs than there were 10 years ago. And as Americans live longer, more things go wrong with them. Things that can now be fixed with drugs. But can we afford all these new drugs? Stephen Findley is director of research at the nonprofit National Institute for Healthcare Management.
I think there'll be a pitched battle between the people who pay the bill for healthcare and the pharmaceutical industry in the years ahead. I think we all see that coming. I just hope that it's not a train wreck.
Already, employers and insurance companies are raising premiums and co-payments on brand-name drugs. State governments are drawing up strict lists of which new drugs they'll pay for under Medicaid and which ones they won't. Medicaid is the government's low-income insurance program. Martha DeRose also rations her drugs. Sometimes she skips them.
You can't get blood out of a stone. If you don't have the money, you can't get them. And, like, I run out of money.
DeRose, who has kidney failure, is skipping two pills right now, one for her diabetes and the other for high cholesterol. Snigdha Prakash, NPR News, Washington.